happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Love and happiness.
Welcome back to the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
And welcome back into the second hour on this Wednesday night of the Charlie Tuna Show, coming to you live from the studios at KBS 590 The Fan, and broadcasting live on InsideSTL.com. Moses, along with Tom Wiley, Joe Davis. In the first hour, we had Howard Balls on talking NFL draft. And we also had the mayor of East St. Louis, Maurice Scott, keeping us updated on what's going on the east side.
We actually had a text message about Maurice Scott. It said we need more people like Maurice out there to end the stigma of East St. Louis. Show the true side of East St. Louis.
Was that from Mrs. Scott or Grandma Scott?
It was a 314 number.
Oh,
so,
hell. Hey,
there
now.
Go. There you go.
Good for them.
There you go.
Maurice, we love Maurice.
Well, you know what?
Absolutely.
I've said this probably more than once, but I spent a lot of my formative years in East St. Louis growing up in the 70s, late 60s and 70s. In East St. Louis.
Was it late at night?
It was all 24 hours a day. You know, because I had relatives I would go with. I had cousins that go over there and stay, you know, and I stayed in the Samuel Gumper's housing project, you know, visiting. I've stayed in the old Roosevelt homes, mm-hmm. visiting mm-hmm. people. And, as a kid, I guess I was oblivious to it because I was a kid. But I never looked at East St. Louis as being one of those places that you didn't want
to
go.
We traveled once in a while down toward there to get some beer when exactly. we're underage. And I mean, you know, and there's places you know not to go, places you could go.
Yeah.
I drove through there every
Just
day.
Just like over here on this side of the water, places I wouldn't go.
I drove over there, through there every day for about 6-7 years when I lived on the west end of Belleville. So, you know.
But you look at the history of that place.
It is
place,
what it
man.
Is.
They've had so many setbacks in the past.
They got
people who supposed to be trusted civic leaders.
That's the
politicians,
thing, man.
They've just
so many people in charge that have done the wrong thing for the city.
That's what power does to you.
And think, especially. Hey, look at what happened. Especially when you see the power today. The new mayor. She got right in there. She made her presence known.
But
she got rid of the chief.
Thank goodness.
He probably was going to leave anyway.
Yeah, he was going to run for mayor.
There had been some rumors that he was going to be going. And I in my line of work, Tom, my other vocation, mm-hmm. I talked to a lot of policemen, and they were not pleased with him at all because from what I get from most policemen, they want to have a chief who was in the trenches like they are now, who can relate to what they go through on the job. Who didn't get their position by being a glorified paper pusher.
You know how he started out, what he wanted to be, what he did for a while. He was in radio promotions, I think. I really did.
How did he go from radio promotions to being the chief of police?
I have no idea. Only in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Only in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So some of those chiefs have become mayors, though.
I have a personal favorite that I hope, and I'm going to throw his name out there right now, that I hope is the new police chief.
Who's that?
Colonel Ronnie Robinson.
Ronnie Robinson.
Normandy class of 78.
Okay.
He beat our 160 in the state wrestling championship that year.
He has got the qualifications.
Oh, yes. He was head of the gang abatement unit. As a matter of fact, they used to have him featured on, what's that network? Spike? I forget one of the networks.
Mm-hmm.
Talking
he
about.
Was Spike, yeah. I know the criminal, that gang show.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of what
he
it's
was
called.
He was on there, you know, but he's a guy who's been out there. He's, you know, paid his dues. Great guy. He's known in the community by a lot of people, and I think he can really get some things done. He can help move the city forward as being the police chief. But I don't know if he has the political capital to get him there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I say political capital, if he knows the right people,
the capital,
yes.
The do re mi. You're gonna see a lot of change, I think, and hopefully change for the good in the city because it's been stagnant for so long. And
too long.
And when I say we've, I mean the whole community.
The region.
Because, we're invested in the city as people that live in the county and on the east side.
Listen, you could use downtown St. Louis as the center,
mm-hmm.
and then you can go out a 40-mile radius in all directions.
Yeah,
that's our region, yeah. as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
what happens in St. Louis affects everybody within that region.
And you've seen the 40-mile region; it's pushed to that limit now. Mm-hmm. A lot of businesses have moved out this way, out to St. Charles, mm-hmm. out to the Earth City area, yeah, down south.
Oh yeah.
Toward the 44 corridor down in Fenton and Eureka area, and even over the Illinois side, there's a lot going on and a lot of businesses being built over there. Big warehouses off of 255. You see, they're going to have an Amazon distribution center over there that they're
that's
hiring for.
Time.
Yeah, that's big time. So you got a lot of things that are pushing, but it's pushing away from the city, and the city becomes a desolate place where bad things start to happen.
But you know what though, when I think that what's going to be the crown jewel of bringing the city back is going to be that new government facility. They're starting to build, you know, tearing mm-hmm. down stuff now.
A North City.
The one that Illinois wanted.
Yep.
But Missouri got it.
St. Clair County wanted it bad. They wanted it real bad.
And they say it was some dirty politics by Missouri people to get it, too.
Yeah. Good for them. Hey, that's
finally
sweet.
Did something
you gotta
right.
You got to do something.
Hey.
You got to, you know what? To make headway, you got to do, sometimes you got to do that sort of thing. And that's, it's not a bad thing, but you know what? It's going to only be a benefit to the St. Louis community, the city, and the region. It would have been great to have it over in St. Clair County, don't get me wrong, as an Illinois guy. But when the city has something like that, that's something they can hang their hat
not
on.
Not too far from where you used to work.
What's that? Oh, from that's I didn't work in be. That part, but my mom did, certainly.
Oh, you didn't work in that part?
No, no,
what part
no.
Did you work?
I was out in Ellisville.
Oh, Ellisville?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
West County.
Yeah.
Deep West County.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had a facility out there.
They do. Mm. Out there off of
It's still out there.
It is. That's where
so they just left down off St. Louis Avenue and
Palm Street.
Jefferson.
Yep. And moved out from there from about, I think it was about 78, 79, and moved out to West County. And they've been out there ever since. Changed, the business has changed names many times, but it's still there.
Yeah, what about that?
Still doing their thing.
That's Tom Wiley and Moses along with Joe Davis here on the Charlie Tuna Show. And we're going to recap the day's events. Headline news today, former New England Patriot tight end Aaron Hernandez was found dead in his jail cell this morning up in the Massachusetts area of a parent suicide, and we're going to roll with that.
Yeah,
that's
allegedly
all we know.
Hung himself.
Parent suicide.
With some bedworks, some bed sheets.
The Cardinals got the brooms out on the Pittsburgh Pirates today at Busch. They beat them 2-1 today. Our big ticket free agent acquisition, Fowler, had 2 home runs.
Hallelujah.
And Michael Walker looked good.
Yeah. He's been
Rosenthal
their best.
Looked good.
He and Mike Leake have been their best pitchers this year. Yeah,
so, you know, how do you, look at Pittsburgh now. They've played 5 series on this young season, and every one of them has been a sweep. Either they've swept someone, or they've been swept.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that 80-game suspension on Marte is really going to hit them
hard.
It's
going to hurt them tremendously.
And we'll see how Clint Hurdle and that group, how they handle it. But
so now the Cardinals, who limped home from New York 3-9, are now 6-9 along with Pittsburgh.
All the Cardinal lemmings, as they say, were ready to jump off the Eads Bridge, and then they come home. They beat a team that is ahead of them in the standings, and they
but
sweep them.
They start a big 4-game series tomorrow, I believe, with the Milwaukee Brewers. And Milwaukee has always played the Cardinals tough.
Remind me, fans, I know my fans and the fans of the show will be very heartbroken, but next Tuesday I won't be here. I'll be at the Cardinal game. So I've got some tickets.
What are you going to be doing at the Cardinal game?
I'm going to be eating some food. And
you're going to be paying attention to the game?
Yelling some things. And yeah. Hopefully, I don't think the Blues play. I think the Blues play on Monday, so if they go to that far in the series. Right now it's nothing, and with about 14 minutes into the first period, they've only got one shot on goal. I said they have to come out, and they just have to hold on for dear life, because you knew that the Minnesota Wild were going to come out gangbusters and come out full tilt, and they've been playing at breakneck speed, and they've been pounding the body, and they've been all over the place. Much of the play has been in the Blues' end, but the Blues have hung on, and Jake Allen steered aside 7 shots. So it's been the norm for the Blues in these first 3 games, and it is tonight too.
Tom,
yeah,
you're a big Blues fan. Okay,
undoubtedly.
We know that. What would it do for the sports psychic of this region and this city if the Blues bring home Lord Stanley's chalice?
If they got to that point.
Even getting there, right?
Even getting to that round, into that fourth round, it would mean so much to the Blues fans. It's been almost 50 years since they've been.
What would it mean to the Blues financially to get to that last
round? It'd mean a whole lot. It'd mean a whole lot. You mean you sell a lot more jerseys?
Possibly,
more
if tickets. They get to that final round, even if they don't win it, they could probably give them the capital to go out and, say, pursue, hypothetically, T.J. Oshie in free agency.
You get 2 or 3 games here, and I don't know. I think they're going to pursue that.
No matter what.
That anyway. I think they'll do
Why
that
not?
Anyway. Yeah, I think there's going to be. But they'll
gonna,
have to finagle some cap room.
It's going to probably cost right. about $7 million a year to secure T.J. Oshie, wouldn't you think?
I would think so. He's
based on the season he had this year.
Are you? And are you going to expect
30 goal scorer?
Do you expect him to be as good as he was with the Capitals too?
Yeah, he's playing with two world players up there with Nicklas Backstrom and Ovi8. So him coming back here would be great for a marketing standpoint.
Because he was a fan favorite, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. He was probably next to Vladimir Tarasenko. After Tarasenko came, he was probably the face of the franchise until Vladimir Tarasenko came. And then he became, second fiddle to 91. But he still was a viable commodity. He just didn't get along with Ken Hitchcock.
That's what it was.
And there was a lot of,
And the way that Brett Hull didn't get along with
There was some candid remarks made by David Perron.
The guy in Chicago.
Over the past couple of days, yeah. And he didn't get along. He didn't get along with the guy in Chicago. He didn't get along with Mike Keenan. He didn't get along with, that's the way it is. He got along with Bob Berry, and did his thing with him. And he really got along with Brian Sutter because Brian Sutter kind of pushed him. But Brett Hull,
plus Brian Sutter not gonna take any crap.
There's some people you just leave alone.
Yeah.
And Brett Hull was one of those guys. Just leave me alone, man.
Let me play and let me
go on. Like you said, do his thing.
Yeah.
But the. In the past couple of days, David Perron said some things about the Ken Hitchcock regime and his way of coaching, and that he was more in your face and, tried to incite you to make yourself better and go out and play harder. And that's not the way. It's not the way of the athlete today. That's not the way.
It seems like that type of coach is going away in every sport.
Those whip cracking days are over, man.
You can't be Bob Knight.
And I love Bob Knight, man.
There's, the athlete of today is not like the athlete of 30, 40 years ago.
Nope. And money has a lot to do with it. And personalities change and the way people change throughout the evolution of mankind. And it's not a player, a hockey player, a basketball player, a football player, a baseball player. They don't have the same psyche as one 20 years ago. For one reason is because the large salaries that these guys make. These guys weren't making, back in the days. They weren't making.
On the first contract.
A hockey player wasn't making $15 million a year, like some of these, $12 million a year, like some of these guys, getting $7 million a year for a good upper-level defenseman like Kevin Shattenkirk's going to get $7 million or $8 million as a free agent this summer.
Can you say that you think the Blues really miss Shattenkirk?
No. Nope. Not at all. I think their defense has shored up a lot more. I think they're
He was one of their better defensemen.
Right, yeah.
How can the defensive defense be
defenseman.
Better?
Offensive defenseman.
Okay.
He's not as big as the guys they've got in the lineup now. You look at that line, the guys they've got playing right now, the six that they throw out there, they're very big. They push those the play to the outside, and they clog up the middle, and they clear out the middle, and they've been doing a great job. I'm one of the biggest, one of the biggest people that don't like the way Jay Bouwmeester plays at times. But in this series, he's been very good. I don't like the pairing of Jay Bouwmeester and Alex Pietrangelo, but the two of them in this series have been very good, and they've stepped up their game. They still, like we talked last night with Joe Fresta, they still need to get that nastiness, like the Duncan Keiths and the Seabrooks, and get in your face, the Chicago Blackhawk kind of thing.
You know who
that
I
chip
like?
On your shoulder.
My favorite young defenseman on the Blues, Parenko.
Oh, he is Parenko. Destined. He's already a star.
Is he a stud or what?
He is very big.
You look at him, you say, wow, look at how this guy's put together.
Yep. Hard shot.
He looked like he was scripted out of Hollywood, man, to play a defenseman, man. He does.
Smart kid, too.
Is he good to smart kid?
Yep. He got his college degree while playing last year.
Good for him.
So he's one of those guys that the Blues took a chance on. They got some good scouting reports about him. Nobody else knew about him. He flew under the radar, and the Blues signed him. And he became a viable and a big piece of the Blues' defense over the past few years. And he will be for quite some time. He's one of the guys they'll get, and they'll sign him to a long-term contract like they did with Pietrangelo and they did with Tarasenko. And that's why you got to let people like Shattenkirk go in those situations. So there's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
And you need the...
Well, especially when you're a small market team like the Blues.
You need the group of stars like the Pittsburgh
Penguins.
Now, this
wouldn't be an issue in Chicago. Plenty of money.
And I still don't understand the reasons for that.
Does the NHL have a salary cap?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a soft cap, not a hard cap.
No. And to think that the Blues have done this with basically one offensive star And the last year they got to the semifinals, the final four, and this year they're on the cusp of going to the second round again. It says something for the rest of the guys on the team besides Vladimir Tarasenko, because everybody's chipping in. And then you need that in the playoffs. You need somebody up because he hasn't scored in this series. And they've been all over him like a wet suit.
I'm looking at him over him right now.
There's three guys
all
on
over him right now. And somebody has to step up.
And you've got that.
Someone else has. But Jaden Schwartz has stepped up.
That's
pretty
a guy
well.
That I was just going to mention. He has been one of the biggest pluses in this series. A guy that down the stretch, he did not. He was producing off the puck. And that's the thing, like Joe Fresta said last night, you've got to watch some of those things that happen away from the puck. And the things that aren't on screen. When you're at the game, you can see those. Minnesota just scores, so you know what? You can't be worried.
They can't let it go past six games.
With the Blues.
If they don't do it tonight, they better do it.
Don't be. Everybody's like, oh, I've gotten.
Because you know what? Minnesota right now is like a wounded animal. They're dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you get them down, you have to put them away. Great teams in any sport, champions, they have that killer instinct. When they have you down, they put you away. They don't let you linger. They don't give you a chance to get
up. It is hard to win that game four when you know it's pretty much over.
You know, I looked that up last year. It was about half and half through all the series last year. Because you keep hearing that, game four is the hardest one to win. Game four is the hardest one to win. And I looked it up last year, and it was about 50-50. 50% who won game four won the series, and 50% who won game four lost the series. So it's not – it is, I guess, in the mental – frame of things. It's you want to close it out as a team that's up three games to none, but is it more of a do or die situation for the Blues or for Minnesota? It's Minnesota for sure.
Absolutely Minnesota, because if you don't win today, it's over. You're done.
So you got the little weenie boy Zach Parise goes into the box. I can't stand that crybaby.
I kind of figured you didn't like him, Tom.
He's a crybaby. He's been crying about
the heck of a hockey player.
He's all right. His dad was all right. His dad was the guy that charged the bench in the 72 Summit Series and almost whacked that. Yeah, I'll show you the video. Almost whacked the referee over that with a stick.
Really? That was his pop.
J.P. Parise, yeah. But they're on a power play. So we'll see. The Blues have got to make these special teams, and they got to win these faceoffs, and they don't do that. And that's maybe where a guy like Paul Stastny gets inserted in the lineup in Game 5, if they go to Game 5. I'm not giving up ship yet. You're only – into the first period, yeah. So all the naysayers out there, all the people wanting to say, oh, it's all over, please just hold on. You thought it was over when Minnesota scored in the last minute last week, and the Blues came out and won in overtime. So this team will continue to – they'll surprise you in a lot of ways. And
you know, I wasn't here last week when the story broke that the St. Louis was suing the NFL over the Rams relocation.
So pathetic.
We were talking about that.
It's funny to me.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, okay? I don't pretend to be one. However – when I was reading some of the things that the St. Louis was going to use, I said, you know what? These are their own words that could be pretty damning to them in court. Yeah. But you know they're going to try to move it to federal court out of Missouri, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd like to see it go someplace where there isn't an NFL franchise even in the state.
You know, a lot
I
of
don't
people
see go ahead. What's so damaging about what Stan Kroenke said about
Joe.
Come on, it's business.
You lied, man.
It's business.
Up and down.
Well, for have a problem with NFL owner lying to you?
Yes,
politicians lie to us every
what's
day.
What's going to happen is that they're going to get it on the stand.
Way more money.
Mr. Kroenke. Yeah.
That's true, but still.
Did you or did you not bargain in good faith with the city of
he
St.
Didn't.
Louis?
And that's a no.
And he did not do it.
No.
He did not do it. He didn't even talk to him
he
at
can
all.
Say.
Is that against the law or is that just not moral? Just not good morals?
And
that's
and,
the problem.
And NFL's relocation guidelines say that everything has to be exhausted.
Yeah.
And everything was not exhausted. They had a $1 billion stadium on the board.
Stan Kroenke's also not supposed to own any other sports franchise, but he got around that law too.
Well, we're not
because he
about
has
that.
Money. He's going
to
do the same.
He did
it's going to be the same thing.
Bend
he
the
has
rules.
Enough money to get around it. He's the owner. He made the rules.
They went into that room, and the relocation committee came back, and he didn't have one vote. And then about 30 minutes later,
Jerry
they
Jones
took a,
walked in.
They took
and
a vote.
And I'm glad that they put Jerry in it too, because Jerry helped conspire to get him out of here. I know it's probably futile, and I'm not going to be watching. It's not going to be much watch for me to see what happens. However, I just like to see the NFL squirm. Just
I'd like to
face.
See them both on the stand, he and that little weasel, Kevin Demoff, because he's another one.
And I'll tell you something, what Jeff Fisher said didn't help him either.
What's that?
When they moved to L.A., he said when he took over the team in 20.
Oh, he did say that. They was talked about in the
he
meeting.
He knew that they were going to be leaving.
Before he even was hired.
Kroenke came out and said it that after, and there's you can look it up, that after the Rams lost in the Super Bowl to the Patriots, they were thinking about it then. So come on. And then to see the product they put on the field for the last 5 years, and you look at some of these teams.
And then they cut, let everybody go as soon as they left.
7-9, 7-9, 7-9.
The ones that we were saying who shouldn't have been playing in the first place.
6-10. Mm-hmm. Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. All those guys.
He didn't even play like Jane.
He plays.
James Leverton.
He didn't even play like Cheetah.
No, he did not.
And they, you know, it's just one of those things that the St. Louis fans still have a very, very big chip on their shoulder.
As they should.
And
because the fans didn't do anything.
No.
Just pay their money.
And people can say, well, you stole a team from Chicago. You stole a team from L.A. You get what you deserve. Well, you know what? Give us what we deserve, that we should have had in 94, an expansion team, instead of screwing us around and giving it to Jacksonville. Well, talk about a screwed up place that you put a franchise. Jacksonville, Florida? There's only one professional franchise in that city, and it's the Jaguars.
Well,
why would the NFL
press
do
for
that?
Fans.
They like.
Why would they do that?
They like having being the only game in town. But yeah. We're going to continue this conversation after the break. Here we're going to take our first break at the second hour. Moses, along with Tom Wiley, Joe Davis, keep it locked to the 590 Fan.
In the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but I must have used the wrong car. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad place, but I'm having such a good time. I've been running, trying to catch hung up in my mind. Just got to give myself a good talking to this time. Security.